Jonah chapter 1, that's where we're going to be. Actually, we're going to read verses 1 through 6. If you have your place, let me hear you say amen. Wonderful. Let's stand while God's word is being read here this morning. The book of Jonah, chapter 1, verse 1, God's word says this. The word of the Lord came to Jonah, son of Amittai. Go to the great city of Nineveh and preach against it, because its wickedness has come up before me. But Jonah ran away from the Lord and headed for Tarshish. He went down to Joppa, where he found a ship bound for that port. After paying the fare, he went aboard and sailed for Tarshish to flee from the Lord. Then the Lord sent a great wind on the sea, and such a violent storm arose that the ship threatened to break up. All the sailors were afraid, and each cried out to his own God, and they threw the cargo into the sea to lighten the ship. But Jonah had gone below deck, where he lay down and fell into a deep sleep. The captain went to him and said, "How can you sleep? Get up and call on your God. Maybe he will take notice of us, and we will not perish." Let's go to God in prayer. Father God, once again, we come to this portion of Scripture. We come to this time during the week where you have chosen me to be your representative to expound on the Scriptures here this morning, Lord. Father, I just trust that the words that are on this paper are going to be pleasing to you. They will be words, Lord, that we can all benefit from, that we will all be drawn closer to your word. We will all learn more about you, Lord, because of what you are doing through me and through this congregation. Father, we give thanks to you. You get the praise and glory, and I hide behind the cross. We ask this in the name of Jesus. Amen. You may be seated. We are in week number 3 of our expository study on the book of Jonah. We know that Jonah had a commission directly from God. He was to go to the great city of Nineveh and preach against it because of its wickedness. We know that Jonah had contempt, a willful disobedience against that commission, and it made Jonah go in the opposite direction. There's Nineveh, and there goes Jonah. Today, we'll look at the consequence of that contempt, his contempt, Jonah's decision to willfully disobey God. And we're also going to take a look at God's sovereignty and a miracle that he does along the way. One of the first things that I learned as a new believer and then later taught as a pastor and a teacher is this, that every sin has a consequence to some degree. Some consequences of sin might be very minimal or might not be as severe as others. But some sins have the potential of destroying marriages, destroying families, destroying relationships, losing jobs, and even destroying lives. Needless to say, Jonah's disobedience was a sin against God, and that sin resulted in consequences. Let's look and see how Jonah's sin, and ours, has consequences, and then the rippling effects as a result of those consequences. Once again, in our bulletin, we have 6 fill-in-the-blanks, and we're going to go right away to our first fill-in-the-blank, and I'm going to give you the answer, and then we'll talk about the scripture that corresponds with that. Our first fill-in-the-blank would say this, and they all start off with, when we are disobedient. Now, I want to make a disclaimer before I go on, and that disclaimer is this. All 6 of these will apply and pertain to Jonah because they are specific to what's going on in his life at this particular point in time. Not necessarily will all 6 of these apply to us when we sin and when we fail, but some of them may. So, and maybe all 6 of them do. I'll let you decide that between you and God. But our first one is this. When we are disobedient, we run in the opposite direction, because we believe God will not find us. We see in Jonah chapter 1, verse 3, that he was supposed to go to Nineveh. We find out that he's down at the boat going in the other direction. Jonah did not want to go 500 miles northeast to Nineveh. He headed to a place called Tarshish. And if Tarshish is, that's a tough word to say, Tarshish. Say that one three times fast. If Tarshish is where it's supposed to be or believed to be, that would be at the tip of southern Spain. Well, I Googled that over the weekend and found out that from where he was at in Israel, and I assumed he was in Jerusalem, I don't know, to Tarshish would have been about a 2,200-mile trek across the Mediterranean Sea. So instead of going 500 miles that way, Jonah decided to go 2,200 miles in that direction. You kind of get the feeling that Jonah wanted to kind of get away as far as possible as he could, because he thought that God just would not find him. Well, I don't believe Jonah ever read Psalm 139. I'm going to read Psalm 139, a few verses from Psalm 139, and we'll just talk about that very, very briefly. And Psalm 139 says this, "O Lord, you have searched me and you know me. You know when I sit and when I rise. You perceive my thoughts from afar. You discern my going out and my lying down. You are familiar with all my ways. Before a word is on my tongue, you know it completely, O Lord. You hem me in, behind me and before me. You have laid your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful to me, too lofty for me to attain." Key verses here. "Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go up to the heavens, you are there. If I make my bed in the depths, you are there. If I rise on the wings of the dawn, if I settle on the far side of the sea, even there your hand will guide me. Your right hand will hold me fast." Several months ago, we talked about the defining characteristics of God. And one of the things that we said about God is that he was omnipresent. That means he is everywhere. And we can see that from the psalm, that no matter where we go, God is going to be there too. Jonah should have known that, because Jonah should have known this psalm. And Jonah should have known, as should we, that there is absolutely no place that we can go to escape the presence of God. But as for us, sometimes we feel like there is that place that we can go, that we can hide, that we are totally far away from God, and he's not going to see me here. He doesn't know what I'm doing. He doesn't know where I'm going. Well, my friends, let me tell you this. That place, if you have that place, it really doesn't exist, okay? He knows exactly where we are. He knows exactly what we are doing. He knows exactly what we are thinking. And Jonah knew this about God too. So Jonah was trying to get away as far as possible. Let's go to our second fill in the blank. It says this, "When we are disobedient, we will find whatever means and pay whatever the price to get away from God." In verse 3 of Jonah here, it's kind of interesting. It's just a short little verse. It says that he found a ship and he paid the fare. Okay, kind of two kind of lines that you kind of just overlook. It's a rather simple and it's a rather insignificant few words in Scripture, but it makes a very, very large impact. I believe Jonah wanted to find the ship which was going away as far as possible. And he was willing to pay whatever the cost to flee from the Lord. Those were not going to be two issues that Jonah was going to let get in the way. Where's the ship that's going the furthest and I don't care what it costs for me to get on that boat, I am out of here. And we find out that this fill-in-the-blank and a first fill-in-the-blank kind of go hand-in-hand, that sometimes we will find whatever means and pay whatever the price because we want to get away from God. We want to go somewhere where He doesn't find us because we don't want Him to know exactly what it is, that one thing that we are doing. When we want to get away from God, when we want to get away from God, sometimes we'll go to great lengths to do that. And I'm sure for Jonah, a 2,200-mile journey in that direction cost some big denarii. You thought I was going to say some big bucks, didn't you? Well, let's use the terms, right? It's cost some big denarii. But for Jonah, it was going to be worth every single denarius. Every single penny. He didn't care about the cost. Let me just get away from God. And I wonder today how far people have gone and how far they will go and how much money they will spend to keep their sin out of the public eye and hopefully out of God's eyes. I'll speak for myself, but I think Gail's kind of a part of this too. I'm kind of hooked on some TV shows, Forensic Files, CSI, NCSI, whatever it is. And last night we were watching Law and Order. I like those shows. I like those shows. I like when the bad guy gets caught. It's not always the bad guy. You ever notice? Sometimes it's the bad girl too. You know, it could be either. But it's amazing when you watch these programs, the lengths, especially if they're true stories, the lengths people will go to cover up what they have done. They'll go to immeasurable lengths to cover up their sin, what they have done. What is our means and what price are we willing to pay to make sure God just never finds out what it is we're doing? Let's go to our third fill in the blank. When we are disobedient, God will use whatever He desires to get our attention. God will use whatever He desires to get our attention. In verse 4, it says this. The word says that God sent a great wind, which caused a violent storm on the sea. And this is the first of about 9 or 10 miracles that we're going to see God performing in the book of Jonah. And God, in His sovereignty, decided to use His power over nature to get Jonah's attention. He was going to do that because He can. God was going to use nature. Let me share this old story that I heard one time. There's an old story that goes like this. There were two Christian friends, two guys, and they carpooled to work together. One day they were having a conversation about sin. And the first man told the second man that every time I have lustful thoughts, it seems like that God would punish me by breaking something on His car. Every time I did that, it seems like something would break on my car. The second man never thought much about that conversation. Until one really cold morning, they were riding to work together. The first man was driving, and his car overheated, and the car stopped dead in the road. They pushed the disabled vehicle off the side of the road. Before the second man could say a word, the first man confessed, "I was looking at pornography last night." The second man never rode with him again. That's the way I heard the story. Sometimes in our lives, our sins may not bring a great wind which causes a violent storm Or our sins might not even cause our broken down car. But sometimes our sins do bring a guilty conscience. I don't know about you, but I have tremendous difficulty living with a guilty conscience. And the sooner I can clear that out of my life, out of my mind, the better I am. Let me say this. God, if He chooses, can send a storm into our lives. Or He can, if He chooses, allow us to suffer the consequences of our own sin by doing nothing at all. Question is, which would you prefer? Him doing nothing or doing something? Well, let's get back to the story. Jonah found a ship, he paid the fare, and he ran in the opposite direction. But God had a plan for Nineveh, and God's plan for Nineveh included Jonah. Let's go to our fourth fill-in-the-blank, and it says this: when we are disobedient, others may pay the price too. When we are disobedient, others may pay the price too. We read in our text here this morning that all the sailors on board, including the captain, were afraid because of the storm. Now you got to remember, these guys were probably seasoned sailors that had been on the Mediterranean for years, maybe even decades. And if this one had them frightened, you know it must have been quite a storm. It says the ship was about to break up. And because of that, they knew this: their life was in danger. How often has our sin affected the lives of someone else? Maybe more times than what we want to count. Too often, people get caught up in webs of deceit and scandal and gossip and adultery, etc., etc. That, as I said earlier, these things can destroy marriages and destroy families and relationships. People can lose jobs over them, and sometimes even lives are at stake. A lesson certainly to be learned from this is that we should consider other people who might suffer on account of our decisions to sin. Let's go to our next fill in the blank. It would say this: when we are disobedient, others may try anything to resolve the situation. Others may try anything to resolve the situation. Here we see in our scripture that the sailors are throwing the cargo overboard, and they're crying out to their own gods. Little did the crew know that, at that time, that the sovereign God of the universe had a plan for one of their passengers. And that plan was not about to be thwarted. Sounds a little bit like Job. God had a plan for Job. That plan was not going to be thwarted. Job had all these calamities happen to him, and he had no idea that there was a conversation that had transpired in heaven between God and Satan. Job felt the hand of the sovereign God. The people on this boat are now feeling the hand of the sovereign God, and they didn't do anything. Did you ever notice, I've seen this in myself, but did you ever notice that sometimes our sinful situations can make us physically sick? I know it's happened to me. Has it ever happened to you? And our loved ones, bless their hearts, who know nothing about our sin, they try to help us. Here, take some aspirin. Here's Tylenol. Oh, it's nothing a pack of Rolaids can't fix. Have some Advil. Let me get the hot water bottle ready for you. Have some Pepto-Bismol. It will take care of you. We do really appreciate their kindness, their compassion, and their concern. But we find that none of these remedies work. Why? Because a spiritual problem demands a spiritual cure. And sometimes only we can administer that cure by reconciling with God. Let's get to our last fill in the blank, another consequence that we see here with Jonah. We've covered quite a bit here just over these couple verses here. We find that he's going in the opposite direction because he doesn't want God to find him. He'll use whatever means, pay whatever price. We find that God will do what he desires to get Jonah's attention. And when we are disobedient, others are paying the price, and they're trying to resolve the situation. And the sixth and final one is this. When we are disobedient, we fall into complacency. Complacency. According to the scriptures, and I'm going to kind of read a little bit into this, Jonah was so glad that he was going away from God, that he was going in that direction, that he slept right through the storm. And do you see what the scripture says? It wasn't just a sleep, it was a deep sleep. Man, this guy was out of it. He was so glad, you know what? God wants me to go there, and I'm going here. And he was in a state of complete complacency. He was home free. I am headed to Tarshish, and God is going to find me there. And by the way, he could probably get someone else who cares to do the job. At this point in time, nothing was going to bother this guy. Now let's look at us. Being complacent with our sin is a very, very dangerous place to be. Because you see, complacency leads to the next time. And then that next time leads to the next time. And before we know it, we find ourselves with our sin totally out of control. Actually, our sin is totally in control. And then we are no longer walking by the Spirit. We get to the point where our sin no longer bothers us. And we sleep right through it. Just like Jonah. I know I've told you this story before, and I'm going to tell you just a little portion of it again for the sake of the message here this morning. There was a time in my unsaved life many, many years ago where I was very much caught up and addicted to pornography. I do remember the first time I saw pornography. I felt very disgusted and disturbed. How could I do that? Now remember, this is even Mike, the unsaved Mike, the Mike over here. I believe it's Jeremiah 31, 33 that says, God has put his law into our hearts and into our minds. Even as an unsaved person, I knew that there was something wrong with what I was doing. But then that time led to a next time. And then that next time led to a next time. And then it got to the point where it just never bothered me ever at all again. It was okay. And that's what can happen when we become complacent with our sin. We get to the point like Jonah where we just sleep right through it. And the next step after complacency, and this is where I could get with pornography, and many people can get to with whatever their sin is, they get to the point where now I'm not only complacent, now I can justify it. I can justify why I do this wrong. That I'm allowed to wallow in this sin, whatever that sin of ours may be. Because, and then we give the excuse. I don't know if that pertains to you or not. I know it pertained to me. I could come up with all the reasons in the world why I should be allowed to look at pornography. After becoming a Christian, you find out that none of those excuses were very good. And there's even some people, as Christians, can be even creative enough that they will blow some scriptures totally out of context to justify their sinful actions. Case in point, the homosexual agenda will say, it says in Leviticus that homosexuality is a sin. Well, that was Old Testament. I'm not under the law. I'm under grace. Well, their sin is just as much a sin today as what it was thousands and thousands of years ago. We can't justify it by Scripture. You can never justify a sin by Scripture. God is not the author of sin. God will never tempt you or cause you to sin. We do that all by ourselves. Sin will take you where you don't want to go. Sin will keep you longer than you want to stay. Sin will make you pay a price you cannot afford. Sin, it has its consequences. For Jonah, there's a violent storm, and everybody's wondering, where did this storm come from? Well, we'll find out next week. As for now, God had a plan for Nineveh. God's plan for Nineveh included Jonah. We've looked at Jonah's commission. We've looked at his contempt. And now we've seen the consequence. Next week, we'll look at his conviction. Let's go to God in prayer.